Kirstjen Nielsen is out at DHS, and her last action tells us a lot about immigration in America. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams in for David Brancaccio. Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen is stepping down. One of her final actions in office? Increasing the number of temporary guest work visas for this summer. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins me live in studio with more. And Nancy, why did Nielsen do this while at the same time President Trump is taking more steps to stop immigrants from entering the U.S.?
It's pretty simple, Kimberly. Employers have been pleading for more of these visas. Congress actually capped them at 66,000 per fiscal year, but the law also allows the Homeland Security Secretary to raise the cap if necessary, and businesses that rely on these seasonal workers have been begging the government to increase the cap. So DHS now says it'll allow another 30,000 of these workers in for the rest of fiscal year 2019.
And what types of businesses will hire these workers?
Well, these are seasonal workers. They don't work in agriculture. They'll be on H-2B visas, and those allow them to work in summer jobs. So tourism, processing crabs on Maryland's eastern shore, working as lifeguards, these are jobs employers say they haven't been able to fill with Americans.
And this move comes just a few days after President Trump said, quote, the country is full and we can't take any more immigrants. But this visa decision doesn't seem to square with that.
You're absolutely right, Kimberly. Members of Congress had asked for this cap to be lifted after hearing from businesses in their districts that are struggling to hire workers.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thanks.
You're welcome.
And let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is mostly flat this morning. It's up about 3 points. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all trending down in the 1 to 2/10 of a percent range. The World Health Organization is about to weigh in on obsessive video gaming. The group is holding a big meeting in Geneva next month where delegates will decide whether to add a gaming disorder to the International Classification of Diseases. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has more.
Is playing video games for hours and hours and hours a mental health disorder? The American Psychiatric Association wants more research, but WHO is likely to decide it is. Georgia Tech professor Ian Bogost says this is based on the idea that
there's something about games that lures you in. That's true, but it's also true of Facebook or of email.
Under the WHO definition, the behavior would have to harm the gamer's life or relationships. Eric Hagstrom at eMarketer says game designers want people to get stuck on their screens, buying weapons and powers.
Or what these companies are looking for are what they call whales, people who will spend a lot of time and a lot of money.
But authoritarian governments might use the new diagnosis to crack down, says Ben Schachter at Macquarie Securities.
China being possibly the most at-risk market, China has seen games explode.
China has already cracked down on gaming, which it views as antisocial. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
John in Minneapolis, Minnesota, wrote to say how much he enjoys our coverage of the economy and that Marketplace helps him make strong arguments and combat misinformation about financial matters. To join John in supporting trustworthy, objective journalism, donate online at marketplace.org. Thanks to all the Marketplace investors who make our work possible.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
Say what you want about coal energy, but mine safety has improved over the generations. Government inspectors can shut down unsafe mines, and miners can report safety risks anonymously. But that right to be anonymous is now being tested in court. As Scott Tong of Marketplace's Sustainability Desk reports, the case centers on a controversial speech by a mining boss that was secretly recorded.
We're going to break a cardinal rule of radio here and play bad quality sound because of who's talking.
We are
This is Bob Murray, CEO of America's largest underground coal company, Murray Energy, that employs 6,000 people. In this secretly taped company meeting from 2014, he warned employees in Marshall County, West Virginia, quote, "If you want to fight, I'll go on to a better coal mine and we'll close this one," end quote. The issue is complaints about mine safety. Murray said miners made too many bogus complaints, triggering costly inspections. In the future, he said, if miners raise safety issues with government inspectors, they also, quote, need to report it to management. This audio is part of a federal lawsuit. The miners argue that they have a right to speak anonymously to government inspectors and that the boss's speech violated that right. The miners complained to the Labor Department, which sued the company. A lawyer for Murray Energy, Margaret Lopez, argued in this courtroom recording that CEO Bob Murray did not intend to violate miners' rights to contact the Mine Safety and Health Administration, or MSHA.
The purpose of the presentation was not to scold miners for calling MSHA, but rather to remind miners of their important role under the Mine Act in keeping management informed of safety issues.
The miners' protections go back to a 1969 mine safety law
that was enacted after a terrible mine disaster killed 70-some coal miners.
Law professor Patrick McGinley at West Virginia University says the disaster followed decades of mine tragedies.
And the deaths of literally of thousands of coal miners in mine accidents that could have been prevented.
Attorneys and miners describe an industry culture of retaliation against miners who complain about safety issues. Gary Bentley is a former Murray miner.
There have been miners in my hometown who have brought safety issues to the company and have actually been fired. But more common than that is you're given the worst job there is.
Bentley is not a party to this case. We asked Murray Energy for a response and didn't get one. A ruling should come later this year. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And staying with energy news for a moment, those extensive Midwest floods last month are showing up at the gas pump. Reuters reports about 13% of ethanol capacity is now offline. Ethanol is made from corn and blended with gasoline. The floods damaged crops and infrastructure, pushing gas prices in some parts of the country to a five-year high. I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.